I'm speaking today with Ed Gonzalez, one of the candidates for City Council District H in the May special election. Ed, first question, why are you running for this office?
Well, Charles, I'm excited about this opportunity. I'm deeply passionate and committed about District H. I've spent most of my lifetime in District H, born and raised here in the district, native Houstonian, and attended many of the area schools. So I have deep roots here in the community, lots of family. My mother's still here, and I'm raising my family here as well. So I definitely want to make sure that I'm being a good representative of the district, that I can bring some skills and expertise to the office to help make sure we're moving our district forward. And just very excited about serving the community. I've been a public servant now for more than 18 years, and it's just a continuation of that, being able to serve in that capacity and to continue my public service to the city of Houston.
Now, you were a volunteer community liaison for the outgoing council member, Adrian Garcia. Tell me a little bit about that and how you think that might benefit you as a member of council, how that experience might benefit you.
Yes, for the 5 years that then Councilman Garcia was in office, I was able to directly work with his office and with him in the capacity as a volunteer community liaison, where in essence I represented the district office and Adrian at various community meetings and different special projects that perhaps, you know, he needed assistance with. So that was very valuable to me because I got a first-hand look at the entire district. I was able to work with a lot of the different civic leaders and civic organizations, and really being an active listener, listening to their concerns and trying to relay those issues back to the district office and trying to see how we could better serve those specific communities. So I think that was a very unique experience. And most recently, even as we suffered, you know, the disaster that we had with Hurricane Ike, I was able to work directly with Councilman Garcia in many instances, helping make some real-time decisions that, you know, were important to the community at the time. We crossed the district before Hurricane Ike struck, and then afterwards as well. So we were able to talk with a lot of constituents, finding out what their needs were, finding out how we could better try to serve them in such a critical time. And I got a great experience in really being able to see what our city's efforts were, where we were perhaps lacking, and how we could do better in the future as well, because we're not that far away from hurricane season. So that type of experience and developing those relationships, I think, are the greatest benefit that came from that experience in Adrian's office. And also having the familiarity of working with his staff, many of which are still there, that I would be able to hit the ground running from day one. You know, most of those staff members would stay with me because we've had working relationships already, and I think that's definitely a plus, plus the constituents, because this is only to fill a six-month unexpired term.
Okay. Now, your career has been with HBD. There's been a lot of concern in the district lately about crime. As council member, what would you do to address some of those concerns that have been brought up about crime?
Sure. I think the first thing would be to continue to support efforts that are underway, such as the Real-Time Crime Information Center, which I think is a very positive step in the right direction. But we could start connecting the dots much quicker. Historically, law enforcement tends to be reactive in nature, and I think with efforts like the Real-Time Crime Information Center, it brings a greater focus to being able to attack the crime problem as it happens or as it unfolds, and being able to use the resources that are already out on the street to make sure that we actively start investigating the cases. There's current pilot programs underway that are proving to be successful in other parts of the city, and will now be coming to District H as well as part of the expansion of the programs. But we're street-level officers will have the investigative skills to be able to start solving crimes as they happen and when there's good leads that they can follow, instead of, again, being reactive in nature and a report gets taken and gets forwarded to a division, be it burglary and theft or robbery or something, that officer can now, in essence, be able to pursue that case a little bit further and see if they can apprehend the suspects a lot quicker. And so, you know, some officers are being developed in that capacity. Of course, we need to continue to make sure we're staffing our police department to the adequate levels. And I also want to make sure that that we continue to really put an emphasis on trying to restore our storefronts better staffing, being more connected with the communities, perhaps longer hours. I know that we're, manpower tends to be a concern many times, but as we continue to fill in those spots and get new recruits and new police officers, I think that's somewhere where I think really could be a benefit to the community, because it'll engage the police officers with the community, which is always a positive thing. I think people do not want to see their officers only when they need them, but also when they don't need them, and they want to be them to be visible in the community. And I think the storefronts help accomplish that goal quite effectively.
Okay. We are in kind of tough economic times right now. How should the city of Houston be reacting from a budgetary perspective to the economic conditions we're in right now?
Well, I think first and foremost, we need to make sure that we are good stewards of the taxpayers' money, that we're not being wasteful, that we look at programs that are working, and we continue to continue with those programs. But if there's areas where perhaps we could be more efficient, or I think definitely, we need to be able to look at that. We need to be able to make hard decisions if we need to. We need to tighten our belt just as much as we ask for citizens to. I'm raising a family as well, and we're all concerned about, some of the basic things in life, making sure that you're taking care of your family and everything. And we as city government need to make sure that we're being good stewards of taxpayers' money, that we're finding ways to continue to make Houston an attractive place that people want to come to, thus expanding our economic base going forward, where people want to come over here and industries that perhaps are still in growth mode can hopefully consider Houston as a place to relocate or create jobs. And we need to support our small businesses as well that continue to employ people. So again, we just need to make sure we're being efficient, but yet keeping an eye on the future as well. And where we can find surpluses of any kind, we need to make sure we continue to invest that back into the budget to create surpluses as well when we have some additional funds.
Okay. The CIP was recently released for District H. Give me your take on it, and what in it would you like to see emphasized, and what in it might you like to see changed, altered, or dropped?
Well, I think for me, a priority for our city that has often been neglected is infrastructure projects. So anything dealing with infrastructure, drainage improvements, I think we need to definitely make sure that we're getting those things done. We do have the North Main reconstruction, definitely support the neighborhood street reconstruction projects. We have some of the waste, the water replacement lines going on Woodland Heights, and also in certain areas that haven't seen many city investment dollars, like areas like Shady Acres, for example, with the Wright Bembry Park. Let's make sure we're supportive of those communities. They have a great process going on where they want to see improvements to their community, and they've seen tremendous densification. And I think improvements to their park, to Little White Oak Trail as well, Little White Oak Bio Trail, and also seeing improvements, for example, the expansion of the Moody Park Community Center, and also to the parking expansions of some of the neighborhood parks, such as Eastwood Park, Irvington Park, and Cliff Tuttle Park. Sometimes many of these communities feel like they're neglected, and rightfully so many times, that traditionally they haven't received a lot of funding or attention. So I think we've got to be watchful that we are being wise with our investment dollars, that we are trying to create a stronger district across the board, because as our community, as our district gets stronger, then each neighborhood just can build on that and feel like they're part of a growing, thriving district, and want to make sure that we're being fair across the district and not ignoring certain communities.
Okay. Metro recently signed a contract to begin construction on some of the light rail lines, including the North Line, which will run near your house. What is your opinion of where Metro stands today and with its construction contracts? And more kind of looking forward, if you're elected to this office, you would serve presumably through 2015. Metro's current phase of construction is scheduled to be all done by the end of 2012. Where do you want to see Metro go next? What do you want to see them do after they finish the current construction plan?
Well, I want Metro to definitely take a hard look to the future. I think it's important that, you know, it baffles me how sometimes we could all seem just happy for a small segment of rail, for example, to finally get started and to be completed. I think we need to start thinking on a bigger scale. I think we need regional connectivity. I'd like to see a more connection between, you know, the employment and activity centers in the city, to making sure that Metro is looking at sustainable transportation alternatives, you know, considering different options, and we're looking at how the current segments of light rail can connect to the transit center in the East End, for example. I think, you know, it would be wise to be able to connect that east line to the transit center, so that then eventually we can have options of creating or integrating commuter rail as well. So I think we need to be looking at it in that way, not just in a piecemeal basis, but really a strategic effort. And I think we need to start having discussions with all the various entities. You know, we need to bring you know, as many people as we can at the table to start having those discussions as far as, you know, where are the employment centers at? Where are we looking at population growth? Where are the densest areas, the busiest activity centers? And really start looking at how we could best connect those areas and how we could create a viable mass transit system that will that we can be proud of, that can be effective, that we can be proud of, and at least have an eye towards that goal.
Okay. I-45, a couple years ago, TxDOT was making noises about widening it north of downtown. There was a lot of pushback from the community, including neighborhoods like Lyndale and Woodland Heights. That kind of went away for a little while, and it seems to be coming back. How should this process go with TxDOT? What do you want to see get out of what TxDOT wants to do with I-45?
Well, I've been in some of those meetings, and there was one recently, and I was in attendance as well. So I think it's important, first of all, that there be strong community input, that the community does not feel ignored. Many times I think, you know, TxDOT can rush into projects without effectively listening to other you know, best options. You know, we've seen some of that recently with the proposals of jump-starting the segment E of the Grand Parkway. You know, I think there's perhaps better uses of that would benefit current taxpayers that could really use those transportation dollars in other areas. And just to expedite something for the sake of expediting, I think is very short-sighted. You know, I'd like to make sure that up front, before the environmental impact studies and all that get done, that the community is aware of it, that they start thinking of alternatives, proposals, you know, from anything from a tunnel system to any other options that might be viable. I think there needs to be a collaboration. I think we need to consider the entire corridor of 45, and there has been talk all the way up to Greens Point of different groups having those discussions already. But we need to make sure that we're all working together, that we're talking, that we're bringing all the stakeholders to hopefully come up with something that benefits the community. I live, you know, just blocks from 610 Loop over here, and I could hear the humming of the traffic even with that. If, you know, just standing out there and listening, so I could imagine just an expanded 45, some of the nightmares that can happen from that in terms of the impact on the adjacent communities and other possible things that could impact those areas. So I think we need to be asking those tough questions up front, bringing the community input, and making sure we're actively, and I stress actively, working with TxDOT and that they're listening to us and not just imposing something that they already haven't planned for.
Okay. City of Houston recently started a pilot program in some neighborhoods to expand recycling. They've got larger bins. You don't have to separate the streams. They'll take glass now. And the goal being to expand or increase the participation rate in curbside recycling. What's your take on this, and what, if anything else, should the city be doing to try and increase curbside recycling rates?
Well, I support that. I think, you know, definitely I commend the city for doing that, for making that investment and getting the trucks and obviously the containers necessary. I think they're much more attractive and much more user-friendly, if you will, to encourage the community to participate. I think we need to keep taking it a step further. I think we need to make sure that we're the city's engaged, even if it's on a door-to-door campaign in these pilot program areas, to make sure that the community really understands what's going on, really understands the importance of the program, that we're getting our young kids involved, and that's where we can, again, work with our schools and collaborate to make sure, because sometimes our kids could be our best teachers, because, you know, they can learn a lot of things in school, bring that home, and educate the parents many times that are sometimes so caught up in work and the other issues of life. So I think it's important that, you know, we bring public awareness to the communities through PSAs, through civic organizations, so we could continue to drive home the importance of recycling. And I think we need to continue to build on efforts that are currently underway, like the mulch program that has a goal of reducing you know, hundreds and thousands of tons of waste from our limited landfill space. And I think, again, that we need to start thinking strategically ahead of time before we get the increased population that will really put a strain on those limited landfill areas. We need to start thinking about that now. And another thing I would continue to do as well is to continue or begin efforts to work in with some of our apartment complexes, for example, perhaps collaborating with the Houston Apartment Association and some of the business owners to try to see if we could find a better way for some of those facilities, some of those locations to begin, you know, that have their own private collection services to increase their recycling rates as well. But definitely, you know, Houston was embarrassed by some negative headlines highlighting their low recycling rates, and we need to start paying attention to that. We can't be reactive in nature. We need to start thinking long-term and really stressing the importance of this and making whatever investments we need to make, because I think there will be a better payoff in the long run.
Okay. District H has a number of historic neighborhoods in it, and some of them have expressed interest in preservation ordinances. What, if anything, should council be doing to strengthen or enhance preservation ordinances for neighborhoods like what are in District H?
Well, I know there were some recent changes to the historic ordinance, which I support, and you know, definitely, you know, a strong advocate for historic preservation. I think you know, it's important for us to maintain the character of our neighborhoods, and for you know, for people to not lose that sense of character of their communities that they invested in. They've invested in, you know, we've lost many wonderful landmarks, not only in these communities, but throughout our city, because development just ran rampant, and there was very small consideration to some of the value in these properties and what it said about our history. You know, with that said, I think we've got to be have a balanced approach as well. You know, I think we can't overregulate things to the point where we're not effective. I think we need to continue to work with builders, and also on the preservation side to try to see if we could find some common ground. I know through similar collaborative efforts, you know, just recently, you know, the Heights area was able to develop some guidelines, if you will, to you know, for developers to consider and to perhaps apply. And I think that's a step in the right direction. I think any time you could bring different parties together and try to find common ground, find ways that we could preserve things. And from a city standpoint, I think we definitely need to really encourage and perhaps supporting efforts when people want to restore their properties or are interested in purchasing a property in some of these areas, where we can, you know, perhaps give greater incentives to help families that are supportive of these efforts and want to restore some of these properties.
Okay. We're going to be electing a new mayor this November. What aspects of Mayor White's tenure as mayor would you like to see the new mayor continue, and what aspects of it would you like to see the new mayor not continue?
Well, I think, in my opinion, I think Mayor White has been a very good mayor for us, and I respect him a great deal. I support his efforts, for example, with reducing, you know, City of Houston has been the highest consumer of electricity in the area, and through various means, you know, and through goals, they've been able to reduce the city's consumption of electricity, reducing cost, reducing waste, and I think that's a positive thing. I think you know, the city's efforts in terms of trying to build up some neighborhoods that have often been neglected through collaboration with efforts such as Houston Hope and Avenue CDC, for example, and increasing home buyership in some of these more neglected communities is a good thing, because any time that you can bring working families into home ownership, I think it's a good thing, because many times you're removing negative crime elements from the community, and I think that's, you know, a positive thing. You know, many homes, many previously abandoned homes have been now removed and destroyed through an aggressive plan, and I think that's a good thing, because you remove blight and crime, again, crime magnets from certain communities, so I think that's a positive thing. And also the efforts of the city for their tree planting plan that was in place, which I support, because again, I think it's important we could accomplish a lot, especially in these tough economic times, through collaboration, working with different entities, you know, like Quality of Life Coalition and Trees for Houston, and along with the county, to try to make sure we create plans that work for the entire region, not only for certain communities or for the district, but for the entire city and even for the region. And I think, you know, planting trees, having a program that you can collaborate with other entities is a good thing. It helps our environment by absorbing a lot of the greenhouse gases, for example, and reducing our street level temperatures. And I think those are good things for the community, and those are things that I've been supportive of his administration.
Okay. There are 9 candidates in this race. What distinguishes you from the other candidates?
Well, I think I bring some unique perspective to the table. I haven't just been involved in a law enforcement capacity. I haven't just been involved in the community. You know, I've dedicated 18 years of my life to public service, so I know what it's like to be a public servant and to serve the community with honor and distinction. And I look forward to continue to work now in this capacity. I'm the only candidate that has directly worked in the district H office, that has contributed to that office and understand the inner workings of that particular office, and have directly met with probably most, if not all, of the civic organizations throughout the district. So I think that's a big plus. I'm not new to the process. I'm not new to the district. You know, I've heard a lot of the concerns. I could hit the ground running from day one. And I think, again, this is an unexpired term of only 6 months. So I think it's important that from day one, a person could step in, have familiarity with a lot of the current issues already in place, and being able to tackle the issues that face our city in the long run. So I think that those are definitely, you know, pluses. The fact that I'm raising a family here, the fact that I'm a native Houstonian that was born in the district, shows my commitment and my deep roots in the area, which is also a plus. And obviously with crime being a high priority, I think having an understanding of crime issues, of understanding the nuances of how the police department works, is a positive thing. And I think I've been able to receive broad support from many of the elected officials, some very important organizations that affect the district. So I think all that has prepared me well to be able to hit the ground running from day one, and to be able to work with all segments of District H to make the community a better place.
Ed Gonzalez, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you.